Are you worried that recent events have derailed your retirement plans? It certainly made us reassess all aspects of ours, and that's why we're proud to offer our listeners a chance to work with David McClellan, a fiduciary financial advisor from Forum Financial. David's practice specializes in financial life coaching and retirement planning, and right now he's offering free consultations for our listeners if you mention the podcast. As part of this consultation, David can help you understand your financial freedom number and what that means to you in assessing your future financial plans. If you want to build wealth, if you want to make optimal decisions within your financial life, David is someone you need to talk to. You can reach him at 312-933-8823. Once again, that's David McClellan at 312-933-8823. He's located in Austin, Texas, but he's got a nationwide clientele. Do yourself a favor and get some great financial advice for free and see if you might want to work with Mr. McClellan. I think you'll be happy with your phone call. Welcome back to the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast. I am going to be doing, by popular demand, a very special preview and review with the great Ian Boyd, the man that OU fans love to hate, the controversial, electric football commentator who brings controversy, hate, and knowledge to everything he discusses, particularly when it comes to OU. I think he picked them ninth in the Big 12 this year just to get a rise out of Big 12 fans and Sooner fans. Ian, thank you for joining me.
Yeah. Did I pick him ninth? I might have.
I was looking at it, and I think you picked him ninth. I can't remember. He's laughing so hard. The best part is Ian isn't even sure he believes that. He just knew that the reaction it would get. Because Ian tries to actually engage the OU fans rationally and realistically. Like he's actually trying to exchange knowledge and viewpoints with them. But I think 2 years ago, 18 months ago, Ian finally realized that some creatures are not interested in rational discourse. So now he keeps the same front of, I'm just being reasonable, trying to have a discourse with you. And then he masks shade and little subtle attacks. And he has tweets in reserve. Here's a little Ian Boyd secret. He has tweets in reserve ready to unleash and launch, basically saying, I told you so, about predictions that he's made a year ago, 6 months ago, 3 months ago. Is that true, Ian?
Sort of.
Okay. Well, you have old tweets that you like to remind people of when yes, you're proven right and the OU fans are proven wrong. Fair?
I definitely have some of those for sure.
Okay. There you
go. And yeah, I do everything I say, I think. So I don't just like make up stuff just to make them mad. But they are very antagonistic, and I do fire back.
Ian, you went to Big 12 Media Days, and did you or did you not take a picture with the Sooner mascot?
I did. Do you know what's even better is that I took a picture with him where we're like, you know, arms around each other. And then Justin Wells took the photo, and then whatever the Boomer, I think is his name, the pony, he then turns and he gives me this big hug. And it's really a shame that we didn't get a picture of that.
But it lives on in your heart.
In my heart it does. But on the internet, it would have been eternal.
It would have melted some people down. That would have been great. All right. Well, beyond Sooner antagonism, Ian has a great mind for the game. And also, he has interesting perspectives. He has ideas that are not always the conventional groupthink. And that's something I really appreciate about Ian, because I try to be the same. And so we're going to break down the Texas position groups. This podcast is the running backs. And before we talk about the plethora of Texas runners who are somewhat unproven, I want to talk to you about someone who is proven and someone you should be running to. And if you do it, you need to be doing it at about a 4.440. Given how good he is. And his name is Gabe Winslow. He's a mortgage guy. You guys all know him. He's been with us from the very start at Everyone Gets a Trophy, and he's phenomenal at what he does. Aside from being a complete Longhorn lunatic like the rest of us, he's also very bright. He has a law degree from a top 20 school. He also has been in the mortgage industry for over 20 years. He's been on the title side. He's obviously on the broker side now, and he's real, real sharp. No disrespect or shade to the other mortgage brokers out there, but a large majority of them either work for large banks, which you don't want to interact or deal with those people on their timelines rather than yours, or they're kind of quote monkeys. They just look up a quote and they tell you the quote and they try to get your business and they promise you things that maybe they can't always deliver by closing, but they got you locked up and sealed up and there's not much you can do about it. That's not Gabe. Find out why being really smart and understanding markets can pay off for you. Give him a call, 832-557-1095. His name is Gabe Winslow, and tell him that Paul Wadlington and Contrarian Ian Boyd sent you to Mr. Winslow. All right. Let's talk about the running backs, Ian, because this is a position group that's unproven. We've lost the best pair of Texas running backs that I've seen in since when?
Jamal Charles.
And anyone, right? Jamal Charles and another life form, right?
Deontay Foreman. I don't know.
I think Bijan's better substantially.
No
And
doubt.
then Roschon is one of the better running backs in UT history. He just had the misfortune of coming around at the same time as Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, I have a suspicion that if Roschon had played in the 2016 offense, he may have also run for 1,500 or 2,000 yards.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Not taking anything from Dante, but that offense was built to create space.
Yeah.
That spread to run system. And Texas is going to see some of that. Little more sophisticated versions of it, I'd say. But we'll see some more of it. And we're already doing something that I promised we would not do before the call. Ian's laughing and smiling at me because he saw the second I started to digress and go on a tangent, he got a big S-eating grin on his face because I just lectured him about not doing that. And I instantly did it myself. And I apologize. I will not. He who is without sin can cast the first stone, Ian, and I have already sinned, and I apologize. We're going to stay on the running back position. Jonathan Brooks.
I like how you throw in the religious references just to appeal to your guest.
I'm both appealing
Indeed,
to
where
Ian.
all your Bible references come out whenever I talk to you.
Hey, you know what? Some of my best listeners are pastors, seriously. And actually, some of Gabe's best customers is a couple of pastors that love the podcast and listen to it religiously, no pun intended. So, shout out to Peter, among others. You know who you are. Let's talk about Jonathan Brooks, man.
Yeah.
I feel like Jonathan Brooks is the indie band that you kind of got into before everyone else found out about him. And you remember him when, right? You identified him as a high school recruit and you're like, wow, there's something to this guy. And then you see him in limited action and you're like, man, this guy's like, is everyone just beaten down or is the defense completely useless right now? Or is Jonathan Brooks good, right? So let's talk about his resume. To date, he's had 340 yards rushing in his career, 51 carries. That's about 6.8 yards per carry, six touchdowns, which is great production considering that few touches. We also know he can catch the ball. We also know he's a passable blocker, at least a willing blocker, which is helpful with our new direction. What do we know about Jonathan Brooks from a trait standpoint, Ian? What stands out to you? Or what do you think is detrimental about him? We're going to talk honestly on this.
I think he's one of the easiest movers I've ever seen at that position. That stood out to me from his I think I saw some of his numbers from, like, I don't know if it was like a 100 meter that he'd run or maybe a spark event he'd showed up and run some stuff. And he had some, I don't know, for whatever reason I had some sense that his numbers were not that impressive. And then I saw him in his highlights and I watched him in the championship game. I think they lost to Shiner, is that right? Hallettsville, they lost to, like the 3A, whatever it was, state title game. He actually made a mistake that hurt them on defense. But his movement, the way he just gets from A to B, whether it's lateral or forward, was just like, it just looked, it just looks different when he's running the ball than when other people are running. Even in college, when he's running after he's come in for Bijan or Roschon, it still looks a little bit different the way he slashes around. I think he's going to end up running really well whenever he trains for it at his inevitable pro day combine event in the future. And Volume is a question that we'll get into, but in terms of ability to see and find the hole and inflict a lot of damage, I don't know how much of a step back they're going to take. Some, but maybe not that significant.
Yeah, one thing that struck me is I'm pretty good at characterizing a genus or a phylum of a certain type of player. And what I mean by that is there's certain runners that are, you watch him and you go, oh, he's a slasher. And then you watch certain runners, you're like, oh, he's a glider. Or you watch a certain guy and you go, oh, he's a horsepower, RPM, power guy, straight line, not a lot of wiggle. I mean, there's certain archetypes of running back that are very clear and clean. And you know the best version of it and you know the worst version of it, right? He's a slasher and glider. And you don't see that combination. It's weird, right?
I may need you to update me on exactly which is what. Like, give me an example of each, maybe.
Sure. So
Which
I
one
think
is a benefit as well?
Roshon Johnson is a power running slasher.
Okay.
I think Eric Dickerson, if you want to go back in the day, maybe a little before your time, Ian, he was a classic glider.
I've seen
Like,
highlights.
he seemed to be moving slowly and deliberately and sort of had this upright running style. And you're like, oh, he's going to get lit up.
No one
And
catches him.
no one catches him. And tacklers just slide off of him. And he just glides around. Vince Young was a gliding runner as a, as a, as a, as a dual threat. Marcus Allen is the only guy I can think of who was both a slasher and a glider. And that's heady company for Mr. Brooks, but I'm just trying to think of someone that everyone might be familiar with, at least if you're of a certain generation.
Is that the one OJ didn't like?
Yeah, OJ did not like Marcus Allen. That's true. I've met Marcus Allen, and he is a very fit individual, very impressive guy. Very nice guy as well. Taller than you think, too. Probably about, he's about legit 6'2". You don't see that a lot in running backs. But
No.
Jonathan's not that tall.
Oh, really? I was going to say he's a little bit tall for running back. I thought, isn't he
Jonathan's 6 feet.
six flat? Yeah, right.
Yeah, usually most running backs are under 6 feet. And for obvious reasons, leverage, pad height, all that kind of stuff. But
On the taller side for normal, probably.
that's right. So, and Jonathan's not, a lot of guys that are 6 feet are 225. That was Roshan, right? Jonathan's 205. You know, he's well built. I wouldn't call him slight, but he's not a bodied up, muscled up, big power guy. But I also wouldn't say he runs without power. I think he's got decent tackle breaking ability. You mentioned volume, Ian. What's the concern about Mr. Brooks with respect to volume?
There's two things, right? One is that he had a hernia last year. He got that cleared up. As far as I know, it's not a problem now, but that's already one injury, right, in his history. Without being a guy that was getting 200 carries, he's already managed to be injured. And then just the fact that, he came in at 6 foot 199, and 3 years later, he's 6 foot 207, maybe something like
Yeah.
that. He just is not gaining that much weight. And so I don't know. I think I figured he would play at least 210, if not 220. And he just doesn't seem to pack on weight that much. And so you just wonder, if he, as he accumulates hits as the main guy, how is his body going to respond? I think Sark doesn't really know.
I think Sark made that evident in one of his press conferences when he started sort of musing on it, and you could tell in real time he was actually deliberating it, like in front of the press. Typically, as a coach, you don't want to do that, but Sark was like, you know, is he a 22, 25 touch guy? I don't know. Well, we're gonna, like he had that lilt in his voice, like he was actually thinking about it. So, what if Jonathan Brooks is just a 12 to 15 touch a game guy? Is that like we're doomed? Or are there other options?
There are other options. I don't know how confident I am in the other options. I don't know. Maybe we'll, I'm sure we'll get to that in the next conversation. I feel better about Jaden Blue after the spring game. I like that he seems to be responding to the demands of what it's going to take to be a major running back at Texas. Baxter, it seems like you hear positive things, but you don't hear as positive of things as you might like. Like, right? Like, wasn't he a five star or close to it?
He was like, by some ranking groups, he was the number one running back in the country.
And I just don't hear story. Like, when Bijan came to Texas, you heard stories immediately. Like, oh my God, this guy is different. I know we have Ingram and Roshan, but man, this guy, I don't know how we're going to keep him off the field. Don't quite hear that about Baxter. You know, it seems like he's good. I don't doubt that he'll be a very effective runner before he leaves Texas, but I don't know. He just doesn't seem yet to be making an impression as an elite player.
So I think the issue with, let's just talk about it then. The thing with CJ Baxter is he's a Florida guy, and a Florida guy with a certain background that they're more likely to have than Texas guys, which is you're just not fully developed in the weight room, but you have some flash athleticism that's rare. That sort of typifies the Florida athlete, right? It's almost stereotypical at this point. He's going to play his best football at 230. And he's 218 right now.
Yeah.
He's also tall. We talked about tall backs. He's 6'1". One of the concerns with tall backs is always pad level. And specifically, you get hit a lot around from basically your knees up to your hips. It's a natural tackling part for taller backs who stand up. And that's also a place where you get soft tissue issues, injuries fairly frequently. So he's got to learn to drop his pad level. That's not uncommon. Ricky Williams had to learn to drop his pad level, and then he got amazing at it. Jamaal Charles even had to drop his pad level, and he was a gliding sprinter, right?
Yeah.
I think CJ Baxter's got his best footballs ahead of him, and so I think we typically expect a five-star running back to be a finished product almost when they step on campus, but I think he's a little different in that regard. I also doubt he's ever. Oh, by the way, he's a good pass catcher. He has just naturally good hands. He has a good feel for that. That's good. He's not going to be able to pass protect. And that's a big concern with the new direction that we're moving in offense, I think.
Yeah.
If you're going to get Quinn Ewers hurt, you can't be out on the field. So that may take a little while. Or when CJ Baxter goes in, I think it's a good bet that we're running the ball or we're running certain types of pass plays where he's not called upon to, pick up an extra linebacker. Coming inside, right? So CJ Baxter, look, we won't know till we see him, but I know Jerry Hamilton thinks very highly of him. I've watched his film. He has unusual football speed for his size, like breakaway speed, and I don't know if it's like translates to track. So remember, Kendre Miller for TCU?
Yeah, I do.
So not a small running back. And if you time him in the 40, he's probably a 4.55. But he has a knack for busting long runs and accelerating.
Well,
And
if you get behind people four at 4.55, you're gone.
yeah, ask Arch Manning.
Yeah.
Another digression. So CJ Baxter, I'd love to talk about him more, but the truth is we don't know. He was probably ranked a five star for a reason. I think you're going to see him against Rice, certainly. I don't know if you're going to see him against Bama in the mid third quarter on a 3rd and 8. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. I
So
do.
okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Let me just say on Baxter, I do think he, well, actually, two things. I think he is a really good prospect for his own running game.
Yeah.
I think when he's bulked up and he's planting and going off his read, he's going to be very effective. But as Joe Cook has noted a million times, he didn't really run that scheme in high school very much. So he's, to your point, not only may he be a little bit raw on the physical side with a lot of untapped potential, but also in the scheme, skill, read, you know, he hasn't necessarily executed the footwork and the reads and all those things that will serve him best in his career. Second thing about Baxter, I noticed in the player press availabilities that they call him C4, and that's good. I like that because his number is
C.
four.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks for explaining that.
Like
It's C.
C4 plastic explosives.
That's right, Ian. You nailed it.
You familiar with these? Very explosive.
Literalism is entertaining me right now. All right, let's talk about the running back who may be in there on 3rd and 8, mid third quarter. We're at the Alabama 50-yard line. That might be Keelan Robinson. Keelan, I think, first of all, a little bit underappreciated as a talent, and the fact that he utilizes that talent so effectively on special teams. We've got two guys on our special teams who are superstars, Keelan Robinson and Keaton Crawford. I mean, they're like the key dudes on those teams. So I think Keelan doesn't get enough credit for that. I know people know about the punt blocks and all that, but he's also a really good gunner. He's also like involved in every aspect. He's a kickoff returner, so that's valuable. He also turned the corner on something last year, Ian. People are always saying, why don't we move Keelan Robinson to slot? Remember that? And you and I have been trying to explain, hey, the catching a ball like from the slot, running a super quick route when the ball's right on you and the defender's right on you is very different from a little swing pass out of the backfield, right? In terms of your skill set and what's required. And that said, Keelan Robinson became a more effective pass catcher and a more varied pass catcher last year. He caught 20 balls for 219 yards, 3 touchdowns. And I just thought he looked more comfortable as a pass catcher. I think that's going to continue. And I think, well, let me ask you this. Who's going to be our number one pass catcher at running back? Jonathan Brooks or Keelan Robinson?
Probably Keelan Robinson because I think they're going to package him throws, but it might be close.
Yeah, it
And
could be.
you know, the most talented pass catching running back, we haven't even talked about that much yet. So
You're talking about Colin Page from Austin Anderson.
I don't know who
The, the what do you don't know who that is? You purport to be a Texas expert?
that. Never heard of this person in my life.
He's a walk-on running back at the University of Texas, 1,000-yard pass catcher and 1,000-yard rusher as a senior at Anderson.
Fellow Trojan.
That's right. How dare you not understand the juggernaut in Austin, in Northwest Austin? Let's talk about, we're not going to talk about that guy just yet. Let's finish on Keelan Robinson because
H.
I know who you're referring to.
Okay.
So Keelan, just to give you a little bit of his resume, like I mentioned, he caught 20 balls for 219 yards last year. Since he's been at Texas, he's had 408 yards rushing total, 5.8 yards per carry. We've seen him be effective as a runner. He's 185 pounds. So he's not going to be an every down back. He's certainly not a short yardage back. And Texas doesn't want to use him that way. I think the question is he a 25 catch guy with 20 carries? Or is he a 25 catch guy with 90 carries? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I might go up on the catches.
Okay. Wow.
Like 30, 40.
You want to take those that many balls out of our receiver's hands and put it in the running back?
How many did he catch last year again?
20.
I mean, I think they're going to involve him a lot more this year. So how many carries did he have again?
He had exactly. I'm looking at my resource, Ian. Do you know the name of my resource?
Yeah.
You're not going to say
Thinking Texas football. This
Very
one
good.
is the best one you've written.
Well, thanks, Ian. I appreciate that.
People haven't bought it. This is the best one. There's been a couple, probably a few years back, a few years where I read it and I was like, eh. I feel like he's losing his passion for this. But the last few have been good. have been
Oh,
really
thank you.
this is the best one yet.
Oh, I appreciate that, Ian. I appreciate your honesty. He had 25 carries last year for only 94 yards. So a little bit of a step back in per carry on average, but
So I don't know. I think instead of 90 carries, I think maybe he gets 40, 50 carries, but some of those carries are just that many more swing passes or checkdowns or whatever that he gets involved in.
Or a jet sweep.
Yeah, what have you.
Yeah.
And then you don't have the problem of taking away from receivers. But I think they like him. I think they trust him because he's been in the program so long. And he's just going to get some juice this year.
All right, let's talk about the primary colors, red and blue. Which is your favorite color that you want to discuss? Not necessarily your favorite running back of the two, but what color are we going with? Are you feeling aggressive or are you feeling calm and steady?
Feeling calm and steady.
You usually feel aggressive. You're usually kind of a wild man, but all right, we'll go with blue. Let's talk about Jaden Blue.
Jaden Blue, I thought he should be a slot receiver. I still not sure that he shouldn't be a slot receiver, but he seems to be taking to running the ball between the tackles much better. The word on him has always been that he's just a phenomenal pass catcher. He's honestly a really good fit for the offense this year. I think he's behind Brooks because Brooks is a superior player, more reliable runner. I kind of wonder, say Brooks got injured early in the year, God forbid. I wonder if Jaden Blue could potentially have a breakout season if he had the opportunity. Because I think this season and the way the offense is going to work plays to his strengths really well.
Yes, is the answer. I don't think it should be shocking to us. It's unlikely, but it shouldn't be shocking to us if Jaden Blue rushed for 700 yards or something this year. I don't think that's like madness. One thing I'll say about Blue, so two up, I'll say two things about Blue. It's my podcast. I can say it. First, I am concerned. He's 190 pounds. Can he
How tall
pass
is he?
block?
Yeah, how tall is he?
5'10".
Go ahead.
You're very into heights right now with running
Well,
backs.
because it gives you 190 pounds. If you're 5'8",
Yeah.
you might be a decent pass protector.
Ooh,
But
the roster claims he's 6 feet tall. I don't think that's true. I think he's 5'10 and a half, something like that.
yeah.
But I just don't know if he's a pass protector. You know, some dudes can pass protect at 190 pounds. They just have the knack for it and the willingness. The second question I have is, I got to comment on Tashard Choice because in that spring game, 100% they told Jaden Blue, we're running inside zone and counter gaps. And if you try to bounce anything outside, I'm going to pull you off the field by your face mask and you're not going to play the rest of the scrimmage. Because he was putting his head down and sprinting inside and lowering his shoulders and trying to basically maximize runs. And if they've got him sold on that, I think that's a huge development in any young running back who in high school could lazily bounce everything out and make it into a good play because you're a better athlete than anyone on the defense. College, that ain't happening, right? There's such a thing as gap integrity. There's run support. There's like a scheme that you're running against. And I think they really tried to get Jaden to buy into that, and I thought he did in the spring game. So I loved seeing that. Any thoughts on that?
Just that one of my rules in life is that if someone shows humility and coachability and they're willing to accept hard feedback and respond to it and develop, I don't put hard ceilings on people like that. I had one person in the church world that I thought had maybe a limited ceiling. They came to me specifically and asked me, should I continue to develop in this realm or is my ceiling too low? And I was like, part of me wanted to say, focus on something else. I was like, you know what? If they're willing to work, let them work and see what can happen. And so I thought, you know, maybe. And I said something to that effect. And they responded to coaching, they responded to feedback, and they became very, very good and proficient beyond what I would have thought was possible. And so that's a, just one personal anecdote. But yeah, just the fact that he's been so responsive to that makes me want to give him a lot more leeway, see what he might become a running back, you know?
That's a great observation, Ian, because we overfocus on the physical eval and we forget that the mental eval is important. We just talked about Roschon Johnson and Bijan Robinson. The physical checks out for them, but part of what makes them special is the mental. And I think that's a great observation. Also, subtly, an argument for Catholicism since they have higher cathedral ceilings, Ian. All
Well, my
right.
brother's a Catholic, so
Let's talk about a guy who may not have been responding well
yeah.
to hard conversations, if some of the rumors are true. And that's Savion Redd, who is basically Jaden Blue plus 25 pounds, because Savion is a very capable pass catcher as a former wide receiver. And one of the stronger running backs on the team, interestingly enough, despite being a former wide receiver. Here's the basic thing on Red. I think he's a dog on the field, like good dog, DAWG.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't take care of things off the field, some of them relevant to football. I don't just mean like eligibility, but I mean learning the playbook, understanding assignments. He's also nursing a little bit of a shoulder injury for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Could be a blessing for him to take a little step back and get a little bit of perspective, or it could be this is a guy who's on his way out. What do you think?
I kind of wonder if the best thing for him is to go somewhere where his talent will make a way for him and coaches will just put up with some of his stuff. Because I am with you. When he's on, he's a gamer. When he's on the field, I have not watched the Johnny Football Netflix documentary. I might. But I remember with Johnny, it was like you couldn't really trust him off the field at all. But when he was on the field, he was going to go 110% and give you everything he had. It's not really how you want your quarterback described at all.
No, typically not.
But at a running back, and especially at a lower level, I think he might be awfully good.
Yeah.
And he could be really good at Texas, and I hope he could figure out how to make that happen. But I don't know. That, you know what? He has the, he's the guy that's like, he has the build. Or if Texas really needed a pass protector and a good third down back to help this offense, his skill set screams that he could do that. But he would have had to really take to pass protection all off season and be like, I'm going to get on the field by being the best pass protector in this program. And he does, that is not what he did.
You know, and also your third down back needs to know really well
I have no idea what you're going to say.
the playbook.
Oh, sure.
Do I stay in? Oh, they just shifted to this front. Now I need to go out on a route. What route am I running? Am I running a Texas route? Am I running a little swing pass?
Yeah.
And or oh, whoa, they just shifted into that. I have to stay in. In fact, if I don't stay in, it's -8 yard strip sack fumble,
Yeah.
right? So
I'll stay.
look, yes. And so bottom line, the coaches ultimately, a player can flash all they want. If they can't trust you on the field, you're just not gonna play.
You know, it, I think maybe important to note, 5'9", 185 pound Keelan Robinson throwing himself in the way of the free hitting blitzer is better, even though he might get mauled and run over. That could create even an instant that makes all the difference between a sack strip and not, as opposed to if Savion Redd is there and he doesn't even pick it up at all.
100%. Dallas Turner could trip on Keelan Robinson. right? Dallas Turner untouched, and Savion Redd and Quinn Ewers are doing the I thought you, and they're doing the hands up. No
Yeah,
bueno,
yours is
right?
back in the turf again with another busted shoulder.
Let's not put that juju out there,
You said
Ian.
Dallas Turner is the very guy that did that to him.
Yeah, also, you know what helps you as a quarterback? Don't leap in the air when you're about to get hit.
I worry about that with him, man.
I know.
It's become I'm no longer that worried about Quinn Ewers. Well, we'll talk about Quinn Ewers in the quarterback one.
No tangents.
Tangents.
All right, so we have a final running back to talk about, and it's actually he's had an interesting development. And talking about these groups or these running backs who profile not just as runners but pass catchers, Trey Wisner,
Too many of those.
pretty too many of those guys. We just need freaking Earl Campbell.
Yeah, just one power back, one like dinky power back would have been nice.
Well, that guy may be coming. Hang tight. This next recruiting class in 2024, we got a couple of dudes. Jarrett Gibson likes to run over people, and Christian Clark, I think, runs with more power the bigger he gets. I think we're going to see something out of those guys. But
I like those guys.
Trey Wisner was 180 pounds as a high school senior. He caught a lot of balls at DeSoto. They used him in a very multifaceted way. If you watch the state championship game, he's their primary weapon. Not only out of the backfield, but as a slot.
Well, they Peyton Bowen was shadowing Jonte Cook, so
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm not saying he was their best weapon. I'm saying he was their primary weapon in that game.
yeah.
And that was the right move. Good job, DeSoto coaches. He's put on 15 pounds since he's arrived on campus. And I don't know if you've heard, but Sark has called him out by name as having practiced well and sort of doing the things that the coaches want. So I don't think Trey's playing this year,
What's he
but
at now then? What's his weight at now?
195.
Oh, good job.
He's 5'11". So I don't think he's playing this year. I don't think he should play this year, but he might have a role in special teams. And I think it's something to sort of file away for the future, whether at running back, third down back, or even a potential slot conversion.
Are we close to wrapping up?
We are close to wrapping up. Are you going to have a soliloquy here? What are you building up to?
Steve Sarkisian was at USC in 2005, and they had a really good college power back in Lindale White. He had, I think, 200, 199 carries or something that year, and then they had the Heisman winner Reggie Bush, who also had between 195 and 205 carries, and then I don't know however many catches besides. And whenever I watch Sark's recruiting classes. And the way he'll, it seems like Texas's offense calls for a power back, but he's always taking these flyers on these smaller scat back guys. I feel like for him, the gold standard is the 2005 USC running back room, and he wants to recreate it someday, somehow.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, Reggie Bush was a unique skill set. Lindale White was a very effective college running back. I mean, I was at that 2005 national championship game in LA, and Lindale White was the guy giving us problems,
Yes.
particularly in the second half.
I was terrified that
There's a
they were.
reason they handed him the ball when it
I
was
know. I
that.
was. They did exactly what I did not want them to do.
Yes. Yes.
I thought it was so funny afterwards when everyone was like, stupid USC has their Heisman Trophy winner on the bench. And I was like, well, they did the very thing that I was most afraid they would do. Although maybe at that point, they had gone to the well a few too many times, as it turns out.
Texas sold out. They made a calculated gamble, and I would have had Bush on the field as a decoy. I would have had him running a little jet sweep behind it, or just doing some eye candy to get the defense looking at him and like freaking out of like, ooh, who's got Bush? But they just ran power. And by the way, that power play had worked very effectively. Texas just sold out, and you had a bunch of guys stuff it and do a hell of a job. But yeah, I agree with you. You know, maybe that is Sarkisian's ultimate goal is to recreate that backfield. Maybe he's even subliminally trying to do that without even knowing it. But I will say this, Sark has succeeded and had bell cows of many different varieties. So my final question is, will Texas have a bell cow running back this year? And if so, will he rush for more than 1,000 yards?
I have a unique answer on this, maybe.
Bring it.
I think they will have a bell cow if Brooks is up for it. But even if he's not, and they really share the load between him and Baxter, whoever emerges, Keelan, I don't know. I still think Brooks might break 1,000, even if he only does it on like 150 carries or something. What would he have to average to break 1,000 on 150 carries?
Like 6.7.
Yeah, I think that might happen.
Wow.
Just because I don't know if just, he has just a knack for long explosive runs. And I think he's going to be running on a lot of spread out defenses this year and be like an afterthought in a lot of defensive game plans if they can get away with it. So maybe 170 carries, maybe a little more realistic, but I think he may do like between 150 and 200, break 1,000, but then somebody else also log, either somebody else or somebody's else log a lot of other carries for Texas this year. I
One thing I
also
also said, oh, go ahead.
I also wonder if with the new rules about the clock, where you can run the clock on first down, I wonder if Texas is able to build a lot of leads in second halves this year, and they just sit on them and they just say, okay, Malik Ogbo, now is your time. Gunnar Helm, get in there. CJ Baxter, show us what you got. And I wonder if he may quietly rack up 100, 150 carries, just icing games.
Possible. And the other thing is, 1,000 yards ain't quite what it used to be. When you were a 1,000 yard rusher in college football not that long ago, that happened over 11 regular season games. So you were averaging almost 100 yards a game. Now, if you play in the Big 12 title game, which is where I project Texas to play, you need to average 77 yards a game. 1,000 divided by 13. What if you go to a bowl game? Well, I think they would. Now suddenly you're at just over 70, right? You're at 71.4. What if you go to the playoffs? I mean, a 1,000 yards ain't quite what it used to be. It's a nice statistic, but I think to your point, it's more important what that looks like and how it's achieved. If he gets 1,000 yards at 4.6 yards per carry, something went wrong. Is that fair?
Yeah.
We want him over five. Fair?
Yeah.
I mean that shows that there's some explosiveness and consistency in the running game.
Well, yeah, for him, yeah. If he were a bigger, heavier guy that was maybe a little slower, that might be fine.
It might be fine because all of his runs are between 2 and 7 yards, and there within a certain game context,
If he's
short yardage, goal line, etc.
if this passing game is what we think it is, and it better be, or else Texas is not going to do what we want them to do this year, then really the ideal back is like a power back that is reliable in short yardage, reliable at picking up positive gains so you can run clock out at the end of games, and reliable in the red zone. They don't really have that guy on the roster. It's kind of a shame. If they'd had just one more year of Roshan, he would have been ideal for this season.
I think if Roshan Johnson returned this year, he'd have 1,500 yards
Oh yeah.
and like 20 touchdowns.
As it is, he's in Chicago with Justin Fields. I think he's that much quicker to payday number two.
Yeah, well they're gonna run the hell out of the ball, so because
Yeah.
Justin Fields can't throw the ball.
Yeah.
All right, well we're trying to avoid tangents, and folks, that's it. That's the breakdown and the preview of the Texas Longhorn running back room with Ian Boyd. We're going to be back with more positions. This is just a taste. And let us know what you think. I'm curious if you think there's a breakout candidate that we haven't considered, or if you think Jonathan Brooks is going to make us forget that Bijan guy and he's going to drop 1,800 yards and, get a freaking Heisman invite. Stranger things have happened. So for Ian Boyd, I'm Paul Wadlington saying, hook 'em. Do you need a realtor in Central Texas? Of course you do. We all need a realtor in Central Texas, even those of us who live in Dallas or Houston or San Francisco or Denver, Colorado. You need to go to Central Texas anyway. And the reason is Laura Baker is a fantastic realtor. She's great at what she does. She's a member of the elite Andy Allen team for Keller Williams. You can reach her at 512-784-0505. Talk with Laura if you're thinking about putting your house on the market. This is a great time to get market comps. If you're looking to buy in the market, you need all the help you can get. Call Laura, and it's 512-784-0505. Hey, y'all, just a quick heads up that, of course, the Thinking Texas Football Preview, the Burnt Orange Bible, is still available at Amazon, on Apple, and, of course, at Smashwords. That's for you Kindle e-readers. You can download the MOBI version, and it's a perfect conversion. Hey, I really appreciate all the folks who have gone ahead and bought the preview, and of course, who have left reviews. If you're on the fence, if you got a toe dipped in the water, you're not sure if you want to jump in, hey, do me a favor, just go to Amazon, enter in 2022 Thinking Texas Football or Longhorn Football Prospectus, or put my name, Paul Wadlington. The preview will pop up. You'll see 25 reviews as of July 21st, and you'll see that they're all 5 stars. If you go look at Apple, you'll see 14 reviews, all 5 stars. If you go to Smashwords, there's 7 or 8 reviews, all 5 stars. I think you get the gist. The point is, I think a lot of people enjoy it. It's the 10th time I've done this, and I don't think you'll get a better perspective on the Texas Longhorn football team, the Big 12, or the Texas Longhorn opponents. It's written with hopefully some wit, clarity, and insight. And I appreciate all of you supporting the Burnt Orange Bible. Go out there and buy a copy. You'll enjoy it.